The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, planet people, this is Kev Energy. On the show, heaps more energy, where solar is made simple. This show has been brought to you by Heaps More Energy New Zealand for solar monitoring services. The show is predicated on the responsibilities and rights inherent in us all to take part in the conversation and not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And as we step down to the end of 2025, it's becoming all the more evident that the stars are aligning against each other, because on the one hand you have the COP30 talk fest and massive meeting places in Brazil, in Berlin, and we covered the transport options of that via the Saba trip, a boat that started out from Nelson all the way up to Europe, and then people were going to travel by boat as opposed to aircraft. So that's part of what we're doing for the strategy, and we'll be covering COP in as many issues as we can before the end of the year. But in the meantime, it's interesting that the New Zealand government, its strategy is really a climate polarisation strategy, let it burn. Or is that akin to dig, baby, dig? I use Newsroom as a source, and I'd like to quote voluminously from the Mark Dalder report. And it says, since the election, the government has pursued policies that boost climate pollution, even if they cost more or jeopardises New Zealand's reputation. And he lays out the long list of retreats on climate action. This is retreats. That means that there were previous agreements and or consensuses, and now they are dismantling them just like a burning fire. Notwithstanding Kaikoura and the people at Tongariro National Park as I do this. At the start of this year in 2025, Mr. Dalder mentioned, I began examining the government's strategy of stated climate strategy centred around the cost-effective ways to reduce planet heating greenhouse gases. A wide catch call, I believe. The government said planting trees and funding research would cost less and work better than subsidies and intervention. Domestic and international experts he spoke to said that didn't stack up at all. In fact, in my view, we have a green desert in New Zealand, where we're planting this monoculture, which is a same old lookalike American monoculture, changing environments, damaging the local economy because people can't earn living out of trees for 25 years, and the stack up doesn't stack up at all. He further says locking up land in permanent exotic pine trees is a far less economically productive choice than investing in infrastructure, industry or technology. It just didn't seem to make sense to himself from a climate perspective for the government's economic growth agenda for New Zealand's international competitiveness in a rapidly electrifying world. And if you go to newsroom.co.nz and simply subscribe, you'll be able to pick up this particular article, and it's really encompassing in how much it covers. So there are links all the way through, like on the rapidly electrifying world, the electrotechnical revolution, which we'll cover for a second here. And in so doing, the electrotechnical world, the sidekick is from Kingsmill Bond and Amber Futures team unpacks how electrotech is rewiring the economics and geopolitics of energy. It's a fast-moving space, so you can download that Substack, and we'll continue looking at what's available to us via this podcast. So Mr. Dalder goes through a number of parts that New Zealand is regressing on, and the regressions are really stackable. As the year has gone on, he said, I have come to the conclusion that a strategy never really needed to make sense on its own merits, because it was not in fact representative of the government's actual climate policy. Instead, he said, at every turn, the government has opted for the available option that would actually lead to more pollution and a warmer world as a byproduct, even if it costs more, even if it jeopardises New Zealand's reputation, and even if it overturns a campaign promise or clashes with government's priorities and other portfolios. So in fact, in just the past 6 weeks, the government has, one, released a new energy policy that doubles down on expensive fossil fuels. In fact, we'll be importing liquid-fired natural gas, which will literally double the gas price, he says. Australia has, in the meantime, announced 3 hours of power every single day for millions of households because of the influx of cheap solar. And also, it is important to note that the Luxembourg government has put together fast-tracking of solar proposals, to which they need to be congratulated on. However, the weakened climate-related financial disclosure regime, exempting more than half of the companies currently subjected to the requirements of just months after bragging about the policy on the world stage, announced the halving of the ambition of New Zealand's methane target to appease the farmers, and in defiance of the Independent Climate Change Commission, which had advised strengthening it instead. We do have such a high degree of methane pollution, so why halve it? It doesn't make sense by any stretch of the imagination. He further goes on to say, Climate Change Minister Simon Watts conceded the new target is not consistent with the global goal of limiting warming to 1.5. So a lot of this is to do with what's happening in COP, and that talk fest, whatever comes out of that, will be really interesting to see. The national government has scrapped plans to price emissions from agriculture, despite the National Party campaigning on the policy in 2023, and further promising to implement that policy 7 years later in 2030. It abstained on a crucial vote in the International Maritime Organization on a price on international shipping emissions against Pacific and European allies who were blindsided by New Zealand's backtracking. The NZ government also announced plans to unilaterally gut key provisions of the Zero Carbon Act without consulting the opposition. Although National was intimately involved in the creation of the legislation, Watts said there was no need to follow their consensus-based approach going forward. Cut and burn could not be any better a definition of that attitude. It also delayed out to 2050. I mean, if this is not Trumpism in disguise, then I don't know what is. Nor is this the end of the changes for the year. The government will rush legislation through Parliament over the remaining four sitting weeks of 2025 to delay responding to the advice from the Climate Change Commission to strengthen carbon budgets and to implement the methane target decision. I mean, this is just running away from the fire that's chasing them. Watts wouldn't say whether the public will have a say either in the select committee process for the changes due to compressed timelines. He won't even say if there will be a select committee process. Well, you know where that's going, don't we? This government seems to be blissfully unaware that we are in a democracy and that the Vox Populi will vote in less than a year, just over a year from now. So planet people, planet protectors, it's time to get ready. The fight is on. In fact, electioneering started, hasn't it? A decision is also due to on and responding to the Commission's advice to strengthen the 2050 net zero carbon target. The CCC Commission says it should be a net negative emissions target instead, and including international shipping and aviation emissions in our climate targets. Of course, the only way to get net for the government is to strip out many of the factors that make up that target. All of this comes in just the final 3 months of 2025, which is really worrying. So, since the election, in sector after sector, the government has blocked moves to reduce emissions, scrap policies it inherited, brackets, some even from the previous national government, if you don't mind, and then implemented new ones that will increase greenhouse gas pollution. The fire rages on. In transport, the government has axed electric vehicle subsidies, crashing the EV market. And there are many links on this article that make a great reading. EVs made up 1 in 5 cars sold in 2023. That dropped to 1 in 13 last year. The vehicle emission standard was weakened at the request of the automotive industry. This could be Detroit in US by any stretch. The New Zealand government also halted all new work on walking and cycling initiatives. In Motueka, we lost $1.4 million because of intransigence by Mott Community Board and the like to take it on. In the initiatives with the 2024 government policy statement, scrapping all new funding for such work. Climate change was also removed as one of the considerations in transport funding decisions. Last year in 2024, the government also added road user charges to electric vehicles, taxing them to a greater degree than hybrids. The National Party pledged to build 9,000 new public EV chargers, that is, bring the total to 10,000 by 2030, also seems destined to fail. And you can read this space. It'll just drop off the Flat Earth Society's radar. Officials advised the new government it would need to build 670 a year to just achieve the goal. So, what happens? Less than a half were built, 259 were built last year. In fact, this year in 2025, the figure drops by another 202, so 57 have just been installed. So the disincentive is stop the advantage with subsidising EVs, tax them to a greater degree, and then reduce the number of installations that can make them work. I mean, this is just a cut of a thousand cuts, whatever that might mean. The government would need now to build more than 1,700 a year, nearly five every single day for the next 5 years, just to hit its target. To reach that pace, it had appropriated exactly zero in new money for the program and converted the existing funding stream for charges from grants to loans. In the energy sector, one of the government's first moves was to scrap the project looking for a solution to New Zealand's dry year problem, which sees the country burn more coal every winters when hydro lakes are low. Only in October was a sort of replacement announced, and importing gas instead, and since then the 650 million tonnes of black coal out of the ground. The headline move, of course, is to repeal the oil gas ban. Official advice mistakenly provided to the newsroom showed that the government was told the decision would likely breach New Zealand's trade agreements with the UK and EU. However, the government just pressed on regardless. Keep burn, burn, burn. When that failed to spark new interest in the commercial dead end that is fossil fuel exploration, the government found, suddenly, $200 million in this year's budget to subsidise new exploration. We know that these fields are getting less and less productive further and further out. On Thursday, the scope of the fund was expanded to more than just brand new exploration, to include gas storage or expansion of gas wells. Watson and some other ministers point to the government's fast-track scheme as a climate policy because it could see some solar and wind farms get the consents faster, which has got to be accoladed. However, in the same words, New Zealand already has 1.2 gigawatts of consented renewable stations that are not being built. And the new fast-track scheme scrapped environmental considerations, meaning it also includes new coal mines. The IEA, or International Energy Agency, and the IPCC on climate change both found that any new exploration for oil, gas or coal is not consistent with the Paris Commitment of 1.5 Celsius, but this seems to be not on the radar of the New Zealand government at all. The International Court of Justice ruled in July that granting exploration licences could breach international law. Righty-righ, so as we go on, the seabed mine in South Taranaki Bight, it's also a prime location for offshore wind, threatens to make it impossible to build a wind turbine farm there. That mine is being fast-tracked while offshore wind developers wait for the government to pass legislation which would allow them to start applying permits and consents. We could go on and on, but I refer you to this newsroom article, which is it's headed up as the government's climate strategy, let it burn. So, Pananda people, things are burning around us. We've got to fight the royal fight. Have a good week, and we'll see you on the other side.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.